We'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Would you pray with me? So, living God, we turn to your word once again because we need Easter once again. This real story of our Savior that happened some 2,000 years ago, come alive from the dead, putting all of our despair and pain and doubt to death. Would you come alive in us once again this day? We turn to your word because you are our Father and we're your children, and we long to hear from you. We need to hear from you. And so would your Spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus is alive. Have you encountered him? Because Easter isn't Easter until someone encounters the risen Lord. It's early Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and of Joseph. It turns out that like 90% of the women in Jesus' life were named Mary, something or another. But these two Marys, they come to the tomb. And they're not looking for resurrection. They are looking for their dead friend. When Joseph of Arimathea is burying Jesus' body on that Friday evening, these two Marys are right there with him, watching. They stayed as close to that lifeless body as they could be for as long as they were able to be there. And the second that Sabbath ended, and they were able to return there and go and be with him again, there they were again, knowing he was gone. And yet their hearts were not yet ready to let him go. So back to the tomb to grieve, not ready for this story to be over yet. When you love someone and they are snatched away by death, you don't just get over that. You sit by those tombs and you weep and you grieve. And you wonder if peace will ever come from this gaping wound that is now in your soul. They have come to be as close as they know how to be to this Jesus they love. They were always close to him. They were always as close as they knew how to be in his life. And even now in his death, there they were. Just always close to him. Suddenly, an earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descends. When heaven and earth meet, things get shaken up. On that Easter morning, and even still when heaven comes into our lives today, is it not?
Amen.
Has heaven come crashing into anyone's life lately? If not, may today be the day. What better day than Easter, right?
Amen.
The angel goes to the tomb and rolls back the stone and sits on it, shining, his feet just kind of dangling there. Just hanging out in that place where history was changed forever. The angel's mere appearance is enough for the guards to just pass out, afraid. They're like those fainting goats. You know those? You know the response to fear? You fight or you flight or you freeze. These guys, they freeze. They fall asleep in the presence of the holy. And it's a funny scene at first, but then I realized that too many times in my own life, I also fall asleep in the presence of the risen Jesus. When I sense that Jesus is near, when I know that Jesus is always near, rather than really engage that presence, so often in my own life, I know I put the blinders on and I just keep living my life as usual, not to be interrupted. Not to have my world turned upside down. Sometimes it's just easier to fall asleep. It's easier than just acknowledging there's a holy one. Better to just ignore it. Because whenever you stay awake, we're open to what might become of our lives when we actually encounter the holy one in our midst. Anyone been asleep in the presence of Jesus lately? What better day to wake up than on Easter Sunday? What better day than today to see what might become of our lives if we dare to actually encounter the risen Lord? The angel says to the Marys, who are still very much awake, don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who you last saw dead. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Just as he said. I love those three little bitty words, just as he said. Because you see, as you read the gospel stories, you realize that over and over, Jesus was trying to tell his disciples exactly what was going to happen to him. He had told them he was going to be handed over. He was going to be killed. He was going to be buried. And he was going to raise again. And though they couldn't grasp in those moments what he was saying, Jesus always knew what was going down. He was always in control. And he was always walking that path in which all of his promises would come to be. He is risen just as he said. The resurrection, this was Jesus's biggest, this was his most unlikely promise. And he kept it just as he said. And so you know what that means? That means that all of the other promises of Jesus are just as trustworthy and just as true, and we can count on them coming to be. Because just as he said he'd raise again, he also said never for a moment would he leave you or forsake you. You can count on it, because Jesus does just what he says. Just as he said that he was going to raise again, he said that he is coming again. You can count on it, because our Jesus does just what he says. Just as he said that he would raise again, he has said that he has gone to prepare a place for us where we will be with him forever. You can count on it, because Jesus does just as he says. Just as he said that he'd raise again, he has said that the weary can come to him and they can find rest. And you can count on it, because he does just what he says. Just as he said that he would raise again, he also promised to send us the Spirit to be God's full presence with us every single day. You can count on it, because Jesus does what he says he is going to do. Just as he said, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can count on it, because Jesus does just as he said. Just as he said, the last would be first, and the power hungry would fall hard, and the humble would be lifted, and the merciful would receive mercy, and the peacemakers would become children of God, and the meek would inherit the earth. You can count on it, because Jesus does what he says he's gonna do. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Jesus always does just what he says. So I guess a good question is, do you know the things that he said? Do you give your life to knowing the things that Jesus has said? It might be a good idea, because in this world of so much chaos and so much confusion, Jesus is at least one who always does just as he says. We can count on him. So we should probably know some of the things that he says. The angel says to the Marys, come, see where he was lying, and then go and tell his disciples, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is going to meet you guys in Galilee. And so the women, they take off, and their hearts are racing, and they are on their way to do exactly what the angel has told them to do. They are going to go tell those disciples the good news, that Jesus is going to meet with them in Galilee. And while they are on their way, suddenly there he is. Jesus himself, alive, meets them on the road and says, greetings. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? These women who loved Jesus so much are running off to tell his disciples that they are going to get to see him, but they have no expectation that they themselves are going to get to see him first. No, not a risen rabbi, not Jesus. He wouldn't show up to women, not to people who the culture never gave front row seats to anything important to. They're just going to be the mouthpieces that help these 11 men encounter the living Christ. That's how it's always gone. That's how it's going to continue to go. So they assume. Lo and behold, Jesus had other plans. These two ladies would be the very first people in history to encounter the resurrected Lord. For a while on this earth, for hours, they would be the only ones to actually know that everything was different now. The only ones. Two women. Death was defeated. The Lord was alive. This is so our Jesus. My friends, don't miss this. The fact that he showed up to two women very first in the first century, it tells us that our Jesus doesn't just show up to those people that society values the most. And he doesn't just give his very best moments to those who are going to go off and start churches. And he doesn't just seek out the popular ones who always have the VIP cards in their back pockets. No. He shows up to the ones who are running to him. No matter how insecure or no matter how unworthy they feel, no matter how many times society has told them that they are a nobody, no matter how much they question their ability to influence anyone or anything, those who are running to him, he finds them on the road, right where they are, and says, "Greetings." The risen Christ, if he would step into the lives of Mary and Mary, then you can be sure that he is also glad to step into your life and pour his love on you and share his resurrection power with you and embrace you and change you. If you are just running to be with him, he is coming to be with you. And when you see him, a whole new life begins for you too. Greetings, Mary and Mary. You get to see Jesus first. And greetings, every single humble and hungry heart in this room. You get to see Jesus too. You get new life with him too. And so they embrace him. And they fall to their knees and they worship him. The one that they love is alive. Death couldn't hold him. And the sins of this broken world couldn't keep him. Grace wins the day. Life is here forever. Love gets the final say. Jesus picks up his friends. He wipes the dust off their feet, wipes the tears from their cheeks. And he says, "Now go tell the others that I've got a plan. I'm going to encounter them too." See, don't miss this. Easter doesn't really happen until someone encounters the risen Jesus. Before that encounter on the road, the Marys had some good evidence that he was probably alive. But still, there was that fear in their hearts. It might be too good to be true. They had an empty tomb. They had an angel's testimony. That is a good start to faith, no doubt. But it wasn't enough yet. Easter doesn't really happen until someone encounters the risen Jesus. Has Easter happened to you? Not just have you heard enough stories about Jesus being alive that you find it reasonable enough to pick him in a long list of gods to possibly choose from. Not just that. Not just, "Oh, there's enough evidence, I guess so." Not just do the people around you seem to be pretty into him, and so you're going to go with it too. Just an angel's testimony, that's not Easter yet. Easter happens when someone encounters the risen Jesus. Have you encountered him? Has Easter happened to you? Is Easter happening in you? The same Jesus that appeared alive to Mary and Mary wants to appear to you. Wants the fullness of what happened on that first Easter morning to happen to you. It's not Easter until you encounter the living Jesus in your midst. How do I do that? How do I encounter him for myself? That's a good question for Easter Sunday. I'm really glad you asked it. How How do I encounter him for myself? There's just a few things that the Marys teach us about encountering the risen Lord. One thing they would say, a good way to encounter him, don't run from your grief. The Easter story starts with women who are daring to come to a tomb to grieve in that place. So often we try to ignore our pain, or we downplay our disappointments, or we pretend that our doubts aren't really there, or we act like our hearts aren't absolutely terrified by what's going on in our world, or that we're not actually totally broken over those people that we have laid in the tombs, or that we're not actually torn apart by the many dreams that we have lost along the way. My friends, don't ignore the grief. Because if we dare to face it, get ready. Easter always starts with someone who is willing to come to the tomb and just sit for a little while in their pain. When we get honest about what hurts, when we get real about what we cannot fix ourselves, when we get in touch with our desperation for a Savior, get ready. The Savior is on his way.
Amen.
Those who are not running from pain, but those who are turning to Jesus in the midst of it, get ready. It's a good chance they'll hear those words, greetings. It's a good chance they'll see the risen Jesus, because Easter always starts with somebody who is weeping at a tomb. How do I encounter the risen Jesus for myself? The Marys would say, do this. Just seek to be as near to him as you know how to be. You see, the Marys were just always where they knew Jesus was. They followed him step by step as he did his ministry. In his life, they were always right there. At the cross, they were right there. At his burial, they were right there. When he was dead for 3 days now, still, they were right there. Their efforts to be as close to Jesus as they knew how to be had them right where they needed to be to encounter the risen Jesus before anyone else on earth got to see him alive. I think of it kind of like the splash zone at SeaWorld. Anyone ever been there? Don't, it's kind of cruel. But the splash zone at SeaWorld, when you go and see the killer whales, the orcas, Shamu, there's always the splash zone. In the splash zone, they say, if you sit here, you are guaranteed when that whale comes by and flops in the air, you're going to get splashed. Now, other people in the arena, they might get splashed when Shamu passes by and kind of does a fin here or a fin there. They might get a drip or two. It happens sometimes. Sometimes in our life with Jesus, we're not even looking for him. We don't even think he's nearby, and bam, he splashes us. Whoa, that was cool. That was kind. It happens sometimes. But if you sit yourself down in the splash zone and you wait, there's a darn good chance you're going to get splashed. If you sit yourself down where Jesus has already told us he makes some splashes, where he's already told us that he hangs out, there is a good chance you're going to be dripping wet most days. Because you just can't stop encountering the risen Jesus, because you're hanging out where he hangs out. Where has Jesus already told us he will be? What is the splash zone for Jesus? He's promised us that when two or more come together in his name, there he is. I think many of us in this room would say that some of our very most profound encounters with the living Jesus have been when we are worshiping him together in this place. Because he has promised to be found in places such as these again and again. He is found in places such as these. It's a splash zone. Jesus has said that those with ears to hear will hear him. Well, how do we know if we have ears to hear? But we know how to hear. We've got to slow down and we've got to quiet down. So often we don't encounter Jesus because we are just running through life and we've got this constant noise around us. We fly right by him. We drown out his voice. But when we slow down, when we quiet down, when we simply wait in that place saying, I'm in the splash zone. I'm just going to hang here until there's some water. We will encounter our Jesus. I guarantee it. Jesus has said where he hangs out. He said, what you do for the hungry and the naked and the prisoner and the stranger, we do for him. You want to encounter the living Jesus for yourself? Serve the vulnerable. He has said that he is right there. You see, Mary and Mary, they do what they know to do to be as close to Jesus as they can possibly be. And lo and behold, they encounter him in that place. And he has been kind enough to tell us also how to be as close to him as we want to be. If we draw near, the encounter will be there, my friends, because he is alive. And Easter is for us every single day. He will be there. How do I encounter the living Christ for myself? Choose faithfulness. Third thing, choose faithfulness. You see, the Marys are doing exactly what the angel asked them to do when they see Jesus. When we are seeking to be faithful with what we already know God has asked us to do, we will find Jesus along that path. He finds us in our faithfulness, and he says, greetings. Says, I knew just where to find you because you were walking in step with me. I didn't have to look for you at all. You were right where I thought you'd be. What's the last thing that God's asked you to do? What's the last thing that the living God has asked you to do? If there's nothing you can think of, my prayer is that you might encounter this day the God who wants to be in relationship with you, who wants to walk with you and talk with you and invite you into his good work every single day. But what's the last thing that God asked you to do? Did you do it? Are you doing it? You will find the risen Jesus on the path of faithfulness. Just keep saying yes to God, and Jesus will meet you right there. Finally, we encounter the living Jesus as we journey with those who are seeking him too. Mary and Mary encounter him together. Peter and John and the other disciples encounter him together. The disciples on the road to Emmaus encounter him together. Spend your days with those who love Jesus too. Spend your days with those who are looking for him too, with those who are walking with him too. Jesus shows up as his people seek him together. My friends, if you are not deeply invested in a community of faith, there is no better time than Easter to say, I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to start showing up at the tables. I'm going to start showing up in those rooms where people are seeking Jesus together. Because I tell you guys, I'm at those tables all throughout the week. And I will tell you that at those tables, we just keep encountering the living Jesus there. He's there as people seek him together. If you want some Easter, just come to the table with his people because he keeps showing up. And you could just show up too, and there you'll be in the splash zone. How do I know? How do I know when it's a Jesus encounter? How do I know? See what happened to the Marys? Their fear turned to joy just like that. When that happens, you've met the risen Jesus. They're overcome with this need to worship. When that happens, you've met Jesus. They embrace a calling that they never would have considered otherwise. You women, go tell the men some good news. When you have a calling that takes your life a whole new direction, you have met the risen Jesus. The Marys start the morning in despair, and they end the day full of hope, and they are whole again. When that happens, you have encountered the risen Jesus. My friends, Easter doesn't happen until someone encounters the risen Jesus. And when they do, everything is changed for the better. I wonder, is there some Easter in some hearts in this room this morning?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pam, me and you got Easter together. Are there some folks who have actually encountered him and been totally changed by him? Who have been made alive and for real? Easter is for everyone, for every single day. May none of us leave this room until we have encountered the risen Jesus in our lives today, for the first time or the 9,000th time. Because it's not Easter until someone encounters the risen Jesus. Let's encounter him. He's right here. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, that Easter is for everyone, for every day. Thank you that you are fully alive and you are in our midst right here and right now. Would you open my heart and every heart to encounter you, to receive you for the first time or again? Be alive in us in a new way. In this moment, on this day. And help us on the days that are not Easter to live in the splash zone so we can encounter you again and again. It's the only way to live is alive with our Jesus. Let us be a people who live where you hang out, drawing near to you, being changed by you every single day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.